Welcome to sermon audio from Grace Hill Church in Pittsboro, North Carolina. I'm Lee Callicutt, pastor for preaching and teaching at Grace Hill. Grace Hill Church exists to glorify God by being a community on mission transformed by the gospel. For more information about Grace Hill, visit us at gracehillchatham.com. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. There's something that most of us, especially for those of us that are in Christ and would consider ourselves Christians, we would probably never say out loud. Probably wouldn't say it in one of our community groups. You might not say it in a prayer meeting. You might not even say it to your closest friend, but functionally, the way that we live when we wake up at night worried or stressed, or when our stomach turns over the latest situation that can get uncertain, sometimes we functionally live like God cannot be counted on. Now, we would never put it that way. We're theologically smarter than that. We wouldn't just outright say God cannot be counted on because, you know, we here believe in the sovereignty of God. We can quote the promises and we've just sung the hymns. But sometimes when a bill arrives that we're not sure it's going to get paid, or the diagnosis comes back that's not as good, or a relationship starts to unravel and we cannot stop it, or a door stays closed longer than we ever anticipated or expected, and without ever making a conscious decision to doubt, without ever saying out loud, God cannot be counted on, but yet we live a life functionally, we pray as if nothing will ever change. We come to church and we leave as cynical as ever. We manage, we cope, we worry. And underneath all of that is a functional life and belief that if anything is going to happen here in this situation, wherever I am and whatever is going on, it's probably going to be up to me. And really at the root of our anxiety, the root of our worry, the root of functionally living that way, it is not just stress. It is not just the daily grind of life. It's a functional way of living your life and saying in your heart that God might not come through this time. That God might be good in general, but he's not reliable in this or that. That the promises that we see and the promise that we might read here, it might apply to other people or in other situations, but not here, not now, and probably not for me. But what we see in our passage this morning is a truth and a promise from God himself through his word that will steady and anchor our soul. And it's this simple truth that we are going to look at this morning from our passage. And it is this, that God can be counted on. That you can count on God. Now remember why Paul's even writing this letter to begin with. Paul is writing from a Roman prison. He's not sure he's going to be released or executed. He doesn't know the terms of his prison sentence. So he's sitting there not sure what's about to come. But yet he still writes this letter from a Roman prison cell. He writes this letter as a letter of thankfulness and gratitude for the church in Philippi for their financial gift. Remember, Paul was actually in need as he went about his missionary journeys. And he says, this church here, God used to supply every need that he had for his mission. And so Paul is writing this letter deeply moved, not because about the money, but because of what the support actually represented. And the support represented that this church was willing to partner in the work of mission, in the work of the gospel with Paul himself. And so this was not the first time that God had provided for Paul through his people, but it is a specific instance where we see, as we look across Paul's life, his missionary journeys, the beatings, the shipwrecks, the imprisonment, the seasons of plenty, the seasons of without, that you can trace in Paul's life God's provision at every turn. That's why Paul says earlier, that most famous verse, that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, whether I'm brought high or brought low. I can do all things through him who strengthens me, because I know a God who has supplied for every need of mine. That God had never once allowed Paul to go without what he truly needed. And so Paul writes this and writes these verses, not in just some sort of wishful thinking or just some religious platitude to give us some false hope that sort of everything's going to turn out all right. Now, this is a promise written through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to us today from God's own mouth, a testimony of a man who actually lived in light of the faithfulness of his God, that God provided for him at every turn. And so he says, my God will supply every need of yours. And why can he say it? Because Paul, firsthand experience, has seen that God has supplied every need of his. And so he says, this God who supplied every need of mine will supply every need of yours. And so this morning, we're going to walk through this promise together and three elements of this promise that we will see. The first is that we will see God's reliability in this promise, that he is reliable. We will see his resources, that he has unlimited resources to supply for his people. And lastly, we will see our response to God's faithfulness and God's provision in our life, which is to be worship. And so first, let's look at God's reliability. Verse 19. Look at verse 19. This is God's reliability. He says, Paul writes, and my God will supply every need of yours. And my God will supply every need of yours. He keeps his people. That's what he says here. And my God. Notice the first thing here in the language, that personal possessive. He doesn't say that, you know, a God will supply or the God. It's a my God. It's personal. It's relational. It's experiential. It's communion. It's this personal language of relationship. It's the language of a man, as we've already said, has firsthand experience of God providing for every need. That God has walked through every season of life with Paul, through the heights and through the lows, through the sufferings, through the beatings, through all the highs, through all the lows. He has walked with him. He has walked with Paul through the valley of the shadow of death. And yet on the other side of it, Paul is still saying, this is my God. God has sought me. He has provided for me. He has held me. And now he is telling the Philippian church, my God is also, if you are in Christ, he's not only my God, but he is your God. The same God, Paul's God, the covenant-keeping God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, that if you are in Christ, that means this God is your God. And so he says that this my God, this God in Christ, who is my God, my Father, my Heavenly Father, he will supply every need, reminding us that our God, we are his and he is ours, and he does not abandon his children. God does not forsake his people. That's why Jeremiah writes in Lamentations, speaking from the rubble of Jerusalem, he says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. See, God's faithfulness to his people holds under every condition, and it will hold under yours. See, he's saying, my God, and if he's my God, and if you are in Christ, he is your God. This God holds you fast, that this God holds you secure. See, sometimes we just need to be reminded, regardless of what you're walking through, where you are, whatever situation you are in, whether it's financial or health or spiritual or emotional or whatever it may be, whether we are as an individual or as a church, we just need to be reminded that our God in Christ walks with us. He walks with us through the valley of the shadow of death. His rod and his staff, it comforts us. He is your God, and you are his people in in Jesus Christ. That's why the author of Hebrews says that God says, I will never leave you or forsake you. He says, I will never, ever abandon you. It removes every clause, every exception. There is no condition where your God will walk away from you. But you say, well, I know that God holds us fast and nobody can pluck me out of his hand. But what if I jump out? And sometimes we think my faith is frail. My faith is fleeting. My faith is weak. My faith is not what it ought to be. So if I'm not full of faith and the intensity of my faith isn't in the proper spot, then will my God, won't he just sort of let me go? Will he forsake me then? Well, 2 Timothy 2:13 says, if we are faithless, he remains faithful because he cannot deny himself. See, God is faithful because that is his nature. For God to be unfaithful and to abandon his promises actually means he's not God. See, God, he keeps doing it. He keeps being faithful because of his nature. Faithful is not something God does. Faithfulness is something God is. And he cannot be unfaithful and still be God. So you can't even jump out of his hands. He says, I'm going to hold you and I'm going to hold you forever. You are mine and you are mine and I am yours. And you're not going anywhere. And I will actually provide for you. Now, I've used this illustration several times before. But so if you've heard it, you've been here for a while, you've probably heard it. But if not, this may be the first time you're hearing it. But I know sometimes when I take my daughter into a busy parking lot, and whether it's the grocery store or here at the church, I'll grab her hand. And she'll grab mine. Her little fingers will wrap around mine. And sometimes she grabs tight. Other times I have to grab her and just kind of tote her along. Say, come on, we got to go. But either way, when we're walking through that parking lot, what is actually keeping her safe? Is it her grip of me that's keeping her safe or my grip of hers? See, it's my grip of her that is keeping her safe from danger, from trouble, from any sort of harm that would come her way. And in the same way, see, God holds us fast. That it's not your grip of God that he says, I'm going to be faithful. It's his faithfulness that says, I will never let you go. And so you see, he has this reliability that he is going to provide for his people, because that's exactly what he says in verse 19. And my God, this God that's mine in Christ, what will he do? And my God will, verse 19, will supply every need of yours. Will supply. Like, this is what your God is going to do for you. A promise to all those in Christ that every need that you have, God will supply it. From the moment you draw your first breath to the moment that you draw your last, we are nothing but a bundle of needs. We have physical needs, relational needs, spiritual needs, emotional needs. And God says here in his word, based upon the faithfulness and reliability of his character, I will supply every one of your needs. Not some, not few, but every one. And I will do so. See, Paul is making a promise about provision. Now listen, he's not saying God's going to give you everything you want. That's not what he says. He doesn't say God will supply everything you want. He says God will supply everything that you need. He's not even promising comfort. He's not promising convenience. He's not promising the absence of difficulty. In fact, some of those inconveniences, uncomfortableness, and difficulties is actually what we need. See, he's promising supply. Not every want, but every need. Let me say it as simply as I can. If you are in Christ, and right, we believe that God is sovereign, and we believe so, he has the power to provide. We also believe that he is good, so he's not going to withhold it just because he wants to. He's sovereign and he's good. So to say from this, if you don't have it, it means you don't need it. That if you don't have it, if you trust that God is sovereign, you trust that God is good, if you don't have it, you don't need it. God's too wise to make mistakes. He's too loving to be cruel, and he's too faithful to fail his children. If a particular provision has not arrived for you, it's not because God has forgotten you. It's not because God is indifferent toward your lot. It's because actually God knows your needs better than you do. And his timing is not arbitrary. His timing is not late, and it's never too early. He will supply what you need exactly when you need it. You know, and we all have all sorts of stories we could probably share of God's provision and God's faithfulness. Well, there's a litany of examples in this room. I even think one of the first thing that pops in my mind is that when I started in ministry, God provided a house and a small income, but it wasn't really enough to make ends meet. And yet every week there was a lady who would bring me a bag full of vegetables from her garden just to supply my need. Now, it might not have been what I wanted all the time, but it was what I needed. Or even when we started this church, we just stepped out on faith, and God has supplied every need along the way, and he will continue to do so. I mean, isn't that what Jesus says in Matthew 6 in the Sermon on the Mount? He says, don't be anxious about anything. He says, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added unto you. He says later in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 7, he says, which one of you, if your son asks you for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, we'll give him a serpent. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? See, God knows what you and I need better than what you and I know think we need. God knows what you need, and what he provides for us is better than what we could ever provide for ourselves. Our needs are perfectly known by the one who made us. The one who created all things out of nothing, sustains this world by the word, by the power of his word, takes care of his people, and he will supply every need. I think about the Israelites in the wilderness. Most of you are probably familiar with this account. But remember when they were in the wilderness, what did God provide for them every day, every morning? The manna. They were in the wilderness, and every day manna came. God didn't drop a year's supply. God didn't drop 2 years' supply. He didn't even drop a week's supply. He dropped daily supply. What would happen if they tried to store it up? It would spoil. Remember, it would rot. He gave enough for that day. He gave enough manna for that day, teaching his people dependence upon him. Every morning, they had to look up and trust that the bread would come again, that the manna would come again. And every morning, because God is reliable, he provided it and never missed a day. And every morning he's calling us to wake up in Christ and see that his mercies come every morning. That he is reliable to supply every need that we have. And if we don't have it, then we didn't need it that day. See, God doesn't withhold good things from his children. Nothing that is genuinely good for you. Everything that will truly serve for your flourishing and his glory, it's not being held back. My brother, my sister, take comfort, take assurance, take hope that your God will supply every need. The manna comes every morning. God is fully reliable. We see that. And my God will supply every need of yours. But we don't only see that he is reliable. We see all his resources. Look at the next part of verse 19. He supplies every need of yours according to the riches, his riches in glory in Jesus Christ. Don't miss the language here either. That preposition. He doesn't say that God provides out of his riches. That would be like God had a finite supply, like a bank account, and he's just sort of writing checks, depleting his resources. He doesn't say out of. He says according to. Much like the sun, when the sun shines, it's not depleting. It's not like we're depleting the sun's resources and that we won't have the sun tomorrow if we use too much today. If I got too much of a tan at the beach, then I'm somehow using the sun up. No, the sun's still going to shine because it's going to be because God sustains it. It's going to be an infinite supply of sunlight and sun rays. Well, in the same way, God's provision is not out of an abundance. It's not out of a treasury. It's according to his riches. So God's provision works the same way as the sun, that the measure of what God gives is set by the measure of what God has. And he has every resource without limit, without bottom, without end. See, God is not just making a modest contribution to your life. He's given in proportion to his abundance. Psalm 50 says that every beast of the forest is his. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world and its fullness are mine. God's not managing his resources like he's going to run out. It's not scarcity. The entire created order belongs to God, and it's inexhaustible in his hands. He never once gave out of his riches, gave according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus, and then look back at his treasury in heaven and think, well, I better slow down giving good things to my children because I'm running out. That's not who this God is. That's not how that works. He's never actually even had to choose between his one children's needs and another. He gives a supply that cannot, gives out of a supply that cannot be touched by circumstances, failures, or even our fears. He doesn't have to debate between your needs and their needs. He's not weighing out options so he can make sure the riches are equally dispersed and equitable. He supplies according to his riches in Jesus Christ. And so he has unlimited ability. Once again, we believe that God is good and God is sovereign and God is infinite. And so we trust him. We trust him to give according to his riches. And once again, if you hear anything else, if you don't have it, then you didn't need it, because that's how good God is. It's not like he lacks supply to give it to you. But notice where these riches are found. According to the riches in glory in Jesus Christ. Every provision of God is tied to the person of Jesus Christ. That's what Paul writes in Ephesians 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. In Christ, you have everything that you already need. You have what you need most: the forgiveness of sins, peace with God, righteousness that you can never earn, the indwelling Holy Spirit, the hope of a future resurrection. See, outside of Christ... See, these riches and this supply are found in Christ. Outside of Christ, my friend, I'm telling you, whatever supply that you have, you're actually still bankrupt outside of Christ. You're poor where it matters most. But in Christ are the unsearchable riches of his mercy, grace, forgiveness, peace, hope, love, and eternal life, more than you will ever exhaust and more than you will ever comprehend. And so we see that his riches are found in glory in Christ. So that actually drives us to another point that he's making in this promise, is that it drives us directly to the cross of Christ. Because if his riches are found in Christ, it's found in the person of Christ, it's found in the person of Christ, it's found in the work of Christ. And so it drives us and it makes us take a beeline directly to the cross, because the greatest provision God has ever made for his people was not financial. The greatest provision God has ever made for his people were not physical or material. It was actually spiritual. See, God says here that in Christ, according to his riches and glory in Christ, he will supply every need. And we all, regardless of who you are and where you've been, we all have the same need. And for all of us, it is our greatest need. And it goes deeper than a paycheck or a doctor or what a relationship can address. Our greatest problem is not poverty. It's not education. It's not illness. It's not loneliness. Our greatest problem, and therefore our greatest need, is our sin. And our greatest need is to be saved from the penalty of sin. And so what we see is in this promise a beeline to the gospel, to understand that we all have this great need. And God has supplied to meet our need. And what is that great need? Is that God has created. He created all things good, and humanity failed due to our sin and our rebellion. And now we inherit a sinful nature. And you and I, all of us who's ever been born, are born with a sinful nature. Not neutral to God, not positive toward God, but actually hating and rebelling against God, His law, and His rule. And so we've disobeyed Him. And that is called sin. And the Bible says that sin is actually, there's a penalty for sin, which is death, because that is what we deserve for rebelling against the holy and good God. And so now, because God is just, His righteousness, His wrath, His justice is now against us, and we deserve to die for our sin, for rebelling against this God. For the wages of our rebellion is death, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. So when we had our greatest need, because we have sinned, so now our greatest need is actually salvation, to be made right with God, to be reconciled to God, to have our sins forgiven and inherit eternal life. That's our greatest need. God has actually provided what we could never provide for ourselves. So He sent His Son, Jesus Christ. So how does God supply for our greatest need, our biggest need that you and I all share in common? Is what God has done is that He sent His Son into this world, Jesus Christ, who was fully God and fully man. He lived a perfect life without ever rebelling, without ever breaking God's law, a perfectly righteous life. And then this man who is fully God and fully man, Jesus Christ, goes to a cross and dies on a cross for our sin. The penalty, the wages of sin is death. And on the cross, He takes on what our sin deserves. He takes on the wrath of God, the justice of God, the righteousness of God, the godly for the ungodly, a perfect man standing in the stead of ruined sinners. So He who knew no sin became sin so that we might become the righteousness of God. And so then God sent His Son to live, to die for the penalty of sin and in our place. And then He's buried and He raises again as the victorious Savior over sin, death, and the grave. And God says in the gospel, which is the good news, that all those who would turn from their sin, repent, and trust in Jesus Christ alone by faith will have their sins forgiven and inherit eternal life. And so our greatest need, my greatest need, your greatest need, is to be made right with God. And the only way in which you can be made right with God is to fling to Jesus Christ by faith in Him alone. Do you not see that God has supplied for every need? Because He supplied for our greatest need through His Son and for our salvation. And it is received by turning from your sin and trusting in Jesus Christ. So if you've not believed upon the Lord Jesus, you have a great need. You have an eternal need. And God has supplied for that need through the life, death, and resurrection of His Son. And all you must do to receive and have your eternal need met is to receive it by faith, trusting in Him and Him alone. And for those of us who have, we just need to be reminded that, as Romans 8:32 says, He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also graciously give us all things? If our God has supplied for our greatest need at the cost of His very own Son, are we really going to worry that He'll hold back lesser things from us? Has God ever done you wrong? God will always do good to us. And the cross of Christ is actually the proof that God will always supply our need. You're worried that God might supply your need? Look to the cross where He supplied for our greatest need. And if He supplied it through the death of His very own Son, do you think He's going to withhold anything now from His children? See, at the cross, God proved forever that He can be trusted with every need His people will ever bring Him. Because the greatest need has already been met, and everything else is just a matter of time and trust. See, God is fully reliable. And he has an infinite resource to be able to supply every need of yours. And we trust him to do that because of his character and because of what he has done in Jesus Christ. And if he's not supplied it for me yet, then I either don't need it or I need to hurry up and wait a little bit more. But then what is our response? Amen. What is our response to a God who is reliable and supplied every need of ours? Amen. What's our response to this God who supplied for our greatest need through his Son for our salvation? Well, verse 20, this is our response. Look what Paul does here. To our God and Father be glory. Be glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Our response is worship. Our response is thankfulness, is gratitude. That God, this God who owed me nothing, gave me everything. That I can trust him. I can depend on him. He will supply. So Paul breaks out in what we call doxology. He breaks out in worship. Because it's the only rational response to a God who is good and a God who provides. He says, I will trust him. I will serve him. I will worship him. See, when we truly grasp the reliability of God and the riches he provides from, there's only one place for us to go. It is to our knees in worship. As simple as this truth is, once again, we just need to be reminded that everything good comes from God. Everything good is sustained by God. Everything good is moving toward God. And that's the interpretive framework. That's the perspective. That's the lens we should see every single day of our life. That every meal, every morning, every paycheck, every answer to prayer is God supplying the needs of his people. Every breath, every day, every time he sustains you through trouble and trial. That's God's provision. You think about the blessings in your life. For many of us, we have spouses, we have children, we have parents that are still living. To think my life, my home, my sustenance, my car, my strength, my solace, my hope, my comfort, my joy has all come from a God who supplies every need that I have. I mean, the fact that you are even sitting here this morning, that your heart is beating, that you can hear the word of God preached is the evidence of a God who is actively, personally, and faithfully caring for his children. It is grace that has brought us safe thus far. And it's grace that will lead us all the way home. Because God has provided. God always delivers. And all that I need, his hand hath provided. All of it comes from him. And so our response should be that of Paul's. Our thanks return to him in worship to say, I serve a God who is reliable, who gives according to his riches and glory in Jesus Christ. I know this God. I'm saved by this God. I will enjoy this God forever. So to him be glory forever and ever. Amen. See, it is all to see the goodness of God, the faithfulness of God, all of it. From Christ and his salvation to the very next breath that you take comes from a hand of a loving God. And the only rational right response is for us to erupt in praise, thankfulness, and trust to say to him, for from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever and ever. And what that looks like practically is that we trust him in hardship. We trust him in the trial. We trust him in the valley. When the need is real, God will supply for that need. We never conclude that God has forgotten us or his promises have become void. We recall the faithfulness of God. We recall the God who sent the manna. We remember the God who sent his own son. We remember the God who sent his son for in our place and emptied a tomb for our salvation. And so then we pray with expectation, we wait with confidence, because we know what kind of God we are trusting in, and he will supply our need at the right time. And when he does, we stop and we thank him for the provision. We recognize his hand in all things and we glorify him. Every breath is provision. Every day you wake up, it is grace. God has proved himself over and over to you. This promise holds. May God supply, my God will supply every need. And to that we say, to God be the glory forever and ever. Can you trust God with your needs? Yes, you can. Look to the cross. Look to the cross and see he's provided for your greatest need. He'll provide for all your lesser ones. The God who gave his son will not fail you now. He's not run out of mercy. He's not grown weary of his people. And he's not looked away from you. He is the same God yesterday, today, and forever. And he is a God who is reliable, who provides for his people according to the riches and glory in Jesus Christ. And the only fitting response for us is worship, thankfulness, and gratitude. Church, you can count on God. The God who did not spare his own son will not fail his children now. And so through every season of life, the testimony of the saints remained the same. All we have needed, his hand hath provided. Thank you for listening to sermon audio from Grace Hill Church. Please feel free to make copies of this message to give to others. But please do not charge for those copies or alter the content in any way without written permission.